You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This week, we are introducing our new European segment, where I'll be catching up with ex-BFM volley Cameron Mulgan. He is living in Berlin and will be joining us as a Europe correspondent. This week, Cameron and I spoke about the developments in the Russian invasion of Ukraine, particularly focusing on the movement of refugees. We also spoke about the free trade deal recently signed between the UK and New Zealand. Here we are now.
We'll start off by talking about Russia and Ukraine, and if you could just give us sort of an overview of the situation, and then we'll talk a little bit about what's happening to the refugees.
Yeah, so the war continues in Ukraine. The Kiev TV tower just earlier today was bombed. There's reports of the port town of Mariupol being surrounded and also more shelling in the second largest city, Kharkiv. Apparently tomorrow there's more talks between Russia and Ukraine to hopefully get a peaceful settlement.
And I understand that people aren't able to escape Kiev, is that correct?
I'm not sure if there's still a route open. There's a large column, I think, south of Kiev of Russian forces, but I'm not entirely sure if people are still able to get out.
And if they can get out, where are they going?
Yeah, so there's been a huge flight of refugees from Ukraine. Over 650,000 refugees have fled to European countries, according to Filippo Grandi, the UN High Commissioner for Refugees. Over 280,000 have arrived in Poland, and received support from Polish authorities, UNHCR, and other NGOs and volunteers. The rest are arriving via land through Romania, Slovakia, Hungary and Moldova. Apparently, the wait time at the Polish border has been over 30 hours at times. You've got to remember that only women, children and non-Ukrainian men are allowed through, as all Ukrainian men ages between 18 and 60 are required to stay. There's been reports of people from African and Asian backgrounds having trouble leaving Ukraine and receiving racist treatment by authorities. The Nigerian government yesterday condemned the treatment groups of Nigerian students have received, with reports of being blocked at the border, although apparently now that's getting better. The European Commission estimate that up to 7 million people may be displaced from this war from Ukraine. This has led to Ylva Johansson, the European Commissioner for Home Affairs, wanting to trigger something called the Temporary Protection Directive. This is an EU law which would allow Ukrainians instant and temporary protections as refugees, allowing them to legally stay in an EU host country and receive support. This would initially last for a year and could be extended to 3 years. She wants to trigger this as soon as Thursday.
Can you speak a little bit to the wider policy shift of Europe towards Russia in terms of military support? What is the rest of Europe doing?
Yeah, no, I think it's really important to recognise such a significant policy shift. The EU announcing that they'll actively fund and support, send weapons over to Ukraine. Germany over the weekend had a very significant change of stance. They used to ban weapons exports to conflict zones. However, Chancellor Olaf Scholz said that will change. They'll send weapons to Ukraine, and also he committed to spend an additional $100 billion this year on the German military, as well as, for example, you know, Switzerland has joined in EU sanctions, the banning of certain Russian banks via SWIFT. It's quite significant. Ukraine also yesterday applied for EU membership as well.
Is that likely to go through quickly, or is that quite a...
No, it's a very long process, so they can recognise the application, but yeah, it's quite a long process. It's more just to get some more funding to slowly, potentially join.
What about the US's response? Do you think, or any other international troops, do you think they'll enter Ukraine to assist?
No way. No. That would be... I mean, there's definitely calls for a no-fly zone. I was at the protest covering it on Sunday in Berlin, where over 100,000 people turned up, and there were a lot of calls for a no-fly zone, but I wouldn't think that would happen because Putin has warned not to get involved. There are reports of Poland sending old aircraft to the Ukrainian Air Force, but I'm not entirely sure what will happen with that.
Okay, we'll leave that there and we'll look forward to picking it up when we talk next week and sort of talking about the developments. But do you want to move on quickly and talk a little bit to the free trade deal with New Zealand and the UK? Any insights into that relationship to Brexit from your side?
So the UK trade, so from the free trade deal agreement signed earlier this week, the UK trade minister forecast that the deal would add an additional £800 million to the British economy over the next decade. This is, of course, off the back of a free trade agreement they signed with Australia in December. The British National Farmers Union has criticised the agreement, saying that UK farm businesses face significantly higher costs of production than farmers in New Zealand, so margins will likely be tighter. Yeah, and it's, of course, the UK trying to plug the hole that is Brexit. They're also trying to join the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the CPTPP, which, according to British modelling, in its current format, it could add around £1.8 billion to the British economy over the long term. So yeah, they're still desperately trying to plug that hole.
Yeah.
That was our European correspondent Cameron Mulgan speaking to me about the Russian invasion of Ukraine and the UK-New Zealand free trade deal.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.